Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala alayna kitabu mubeen, all praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear. وَكَانَ أَخْرُ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ and revealed in its last ayah, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَاتِ وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامِ الدِّينِ. This day have I perfected for you your way of life, and have preferred for and have completed my favor upon you, and have preferred for you al-Islam as a way of life. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. We bear opening sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكِ. His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ. To him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. In his hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And he has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And we bear opening sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that our leader Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. بَعَثُهُ فِي الْعُمِيِّينَ. Allah raised him up from among the unlettered. Rasulun minhum ya'lu alayhim ayatihi, a messenger from among them, showing them how to follow the signs of Allah. Wa yuzakkihim, and purifying them. Wa yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur, and bringing them. Wa yu'allimuhum al-kitab wal hikmah, teaching them the book and the wisdom. Wa yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur, and drawing them out of the darknesses into the light. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. While before that, they were in open, obvious, and evident strain. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. O Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader, Muhammad. وعلى آله, and upon his family. وصحبه, and upon his companions. أجمعين, all of them. ويا أيها المسلمون, and to you, O Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Allah be on you. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ونفس وما سواها فألحمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. An expression of this is by the soul and the place that it's been given in the design of creation and its enlightenment as to what would benefit it and what would harm it. Blessed is he that cultivates it, and cursed is the one who neglects it. And Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, today we continue the subject taqwa and the game of life. This is the fourth portion of that. And I decided literally not to even go back and open up ayah 30-30, because really the universe of the whole thing is in ayah 30-30. But when we go back, we wind up spending more time there because more things come up. So we start with a fresh set of verses to address. So Let's understand, because I really want you, there's this thing that's called frame breaking. What do you mean frame breaking? It means that people come with a frame, whatever it is you might talk about, right? People come with a frame. But if you know that that frame is not the frame that you're actually talking about, then you need to explain to the people who hold that particular frame, say, no, I'm not talking about that frame, okay? I'm talking about a new frame for what we're saying. Okay, so when we say the game of life, right, we all have a frame for that game of life, right? Whatever it might be. And if you haven't taken the time to think about what you mean whenever you have said it in the past, that's fine too. But the fact that you can or have ever used it means that you have some meaning, and that meaning is shared by the people that you share it with, because you don't feel like you're speaking a foreign language when you actually say, man, you know, it's all a part of the game of life, right? So, but we want to break that frame and be real clear on the new frame. In fact, the title in part is going to be adjusted because of it. Okay, so what we want to understand, what we're saying when we say game, but there are two things that I want you to have in your mind today. Game and metagame. Game and metagame, right? So, and short version, metagame is the bigger realm of things, right? So that's the big game, but then there are games played inside of that game. So the metagame is the big game, but inside of the metagame are many other games. All right? Inside of the metagame are many other games. I think I can grab your awareness right away if I say, okay, so when we say deen for al-Islam versus calling it religion. See, we say deen versus calling it religion. See, religion is a game. I'm not talking as a communist or a Marxist or anything like that, you know, or somebody, an atheist, right? No, religion is a game. It's something that has a set of rules, but it's confined. That word confines you to only when you're thinking about God, or when you're making prayer, or when you're thinking about going to heaven versus going to hell. Blah, blah. That's religion. And for that reason, al-Islam is not religion, because al-Islam talks about everything, not just your worship life, your devotional life. Okay, so that lets you know deen or al-Islam is the meta game, and there are games inside of al-Islam. And all these, every time we use the word game, we're serious. Okay, we're not playing literally. So there are games inside the metagame. All right, so now I want to give you some examples, because I want you to have these two things separated in your mind. Because as a Muslim, we need to understand that your life is filled with games. And most times we don't know when the game has changed. And most times we don't know what game we're playing. And again, with that word playing, This is all serious, but the idea is that you play. Play is just a way of understanding that there are rules, there's a place, there's inbounds, there's out of bounds, there's legal, there's illegal, whatever the game might be. All right. But let's cover a couple of examples to understand the difference between game and metagame. Okay. The Uber Corporation. You know, Uber Corporate. I think we all know about Uber. The Uber Corporation. So there's the Uber Corporate and there's the Uber Driver. The Uber Corporate and there's the Uber Driver. Both of them are playing different games. Okay? The Uber Corporate is playing the meta game. What does that mean? For them, it means the logistical utilization of individual ride service providers. That's their business. Uber's business is logistically utilizing individual drivers. I'm trying to abbreviate as much as I can, right? Uber Corporate is not in the driving business. Uber Corporate is about the aim of getting individuals to be drivers in the name of their service, right? So now I'll bring in another word here, aim, aim. And I'll repeat it at another point. For every game, there's an aim. And every aim is a game. All right? For every game, there's an aim. And every aim is a game. Different aim, different game. Every game has an aim. See, sometimes we don't know what game we're playing. And one of the reasons we don't know what game we're playing because we haven't asked ourselves the question, what is the aim? Now, as soon as you properly identify what an aim is, now you have identified the game. All right? Okay, let's keep going. So, the Uber Corporation is playing the meta game, which is the logistical utilization of individual ride providers. That's the aim. The Uber driver, their game is to provide individual ride services. That's their aim. Uber Corporate has an aim. The Uber driver has an aim. Uber Corporate is playing a meta game because the Uber driver has to play inside the rules that are set up by Uber Corporate. Okay? They're not playing the same game. You're not in business with the corporation. They're in business. You are an individual contractor. You're an independent contractor, and you provide transportation services. Whoever does that. You provide transportation services, but you provide it under the banner, the flag of Uber Corporate. Uber Corporate, their aim is to profit from using people who provide this service. The individual driver is to profit by providing that service. So the aim of Uber Corporate is this, and the aim of the driver is that. Uber is the meta game, the driver is the game, in that example. All right? We've used a service called Rescue Router. Rescue Router. It's a plumbing service. But it's a franchise. But they operate also like Uber. Okay? You have different plumbers, licensed plumbing contractors, et cetera, and they subscribe to Rescue Router and say, put me on your list. Just like an Uber driver says, put me on your list. Tie me into the system, right? So that when they get an order, just like with the app on Uber, somebody, all we do, just type in, okay, I'm going here, I'm going there, blah, blah, blah. And so the system clicks. And then everybody sees there's an order up, who's going to grab it, right? So you grab it, and so now You become the driver. The Uber corporate system has done what it's going to do, and then the driver goes to the destination, pick up, drop off, etc. Okay, well, the same way with Rescue Router and so many others. They do the same. They do the same thing, but with plumbers. So the franchise Rescue Router, they're playing the meta game. The individual plumbing contractor that has no connection other than they're subscribing to the franchise brand Rescue Router so that they can have their services generated by this system, right? And so, again, Rescue Router is doing the logistics for individual plumbers. The plumber is playing the provide my service to a customer plumbing game. The Rescue Router, maybe the people who are running Rescue Router, not plumbers at all. Why would they have to be? They don't have to be plumbers. They have to understand how this kind of shared economy and this kind of logistical system is networked and how that operates. They don't have to know anything about plumbing. All they have to do is get the person who has the ability, who has the skills, qualification, legally they're so, to get there and do what's expected to be done according to the agreement. So the Rescue Router brand, they're playing the meta game. All the individual plumbers, they're just playing the plumber game. I hope that's clear. One more. NFL team owners. NFL team owners. Okay? So, this NFL team owner, they're playing the meta game. Okay? And all that is, what game is it? It's all that is involved with profiting from the ownership of an NFL team. There are probably a whole lot of NFL owners, I'm quite certain, because some of them, they're older than the NFL. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe just a lot of them. All right, anyway, so more than likely, they probably never played professional football. Most of the owners never played professional football. And that's not the game they're in. They're in the game of owning an NFL team. That's their business, okay? And so what the game that they're playing is all that is involved in profiting from the ownership of an NFL team. The NFL position player, the coach, the manager, etc. You name the people that are involved in the operations of an NFL team. Physical therapists, you got doctors, you also have people who, agents representing the players in their particular positions, and it's the same for all the sports. By the time you lay out all those pieces that are there, you can look at it and say, and see, and it's true, this is what it takes to have an NFL football team, right? All right, and in every position, you know, whatever. I'm not going to try to name the positions, but you know there's positions. I know there's 11 players on the field. I'm pretty sure 11 players on the field. And each one has a role to play. The quarterback is not playing the same game as the halfback. The safety is not playing the same game as the defensive lineman, offensive lineman. The receiver is not playing the same game as the center. Oh, yeah, they're all playing football. No. The center is playing the center game. Safety is playing the safety game. The quarterback is playing the quarterback game. And there's a right way to do each position. And that lets you know that they have a different aim. The aim of the receiver is not the same aim as the safety. I hope you can understand. It's okay to give me a little nod here and there because I'm taking a different tack today. Okay, it's all good. because once this is done, I think the 2-inch punch will take care of what I'm trying to get you to. All right? So I want you to understand the NFL owners, the team owners, is playing a different game than the non-owners who are a part of making the whole operation work. Then when you go down into the operations itself, each functionary is playing the game related to their function. Quarterback is playing quarterback game. The receiver is playing the receiver's game. Center is playing the center game. Halfback is playing the halfback game. Safety playing the safety game. Except, so they're games within the game. Now, in order for you to win your game, you have to know what is the best way to play your game. Let me grab something real easy. Do you think, how would I dare not know his name? Tom Brady. You think Tom Brady knows something about the quarterback game? Do you think? He knows something about the quarterback game? I think he knows something about the quarterback game. But do you think that if Tom Brady was made a receiver, I don't care if he was made a receiver 19 years ago, do you have reason to believe that he would have been as good as a receiver as he was as a quarterback? I don't think so. That's not the game that he was equipped for. That's not the game he was, quote unquote, trained for. That's not that's not him. Let's just put it like that. All right. Now, so if you understand, the NFL owners, they're playing the meta game. And everybody in the structure of their particular team, they're playing the game, the physical therapist. Physical therapist not playing football. Physical therapist is playing the physical therapy game. Okay? And the way that they're going to be successful as a part of that system is being the best at what they do that helps players in the game or those who need that service. I'm really trying to get you to understand. It's all football. I'm trying to get you to understand. No, it's not. The game is what those individuals are to do to support that main aim. All right. So now, metagame is the big game, inside of which other games are played. Every game has an aim, and every aim is a game. That being said, the aim of Uber Corporate is different than the aim of the Uber driver. The aim of the franchise brand owner of Rescue Router is different from the aim of their individual plumbers. The aim of an NFL team owner is different than the aim of every other functionary that works for the team. Different aim, different game. Al-Islam, now. Al-Islam is the meta game of life. Al-Islam is the meta game of life. Al-Islam is the big game. And inside of Al-Islam, other games are played. And we're going to get to understanding, inshallah, the blessing that Allah, when He says, I have perfected for you your way of life and have completed my favor on you. Allah has done us such a favor. Because there's so much you don't have to figure out. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in Al-Islam and in the life model of Prophet Muhammad, we haven't even got to the model of Prophet Muhammad, but it's good. Well, let me do something short. Let's stay with the sports motif, right? Okay, for every aim, there's a game. Every game, there's an aim. Game. Every game has an aim, all right? Baseball has an aim. Baseball is a game, right? Golf has an aim. Golf is a game. Blah, blah, blah. Chess is a game. Chess has an aim, all right? All right, now. Hold on to this, we'll get to it. But you got to hold on to this hierarchy. All right? You've heard the term peak performer. You have heard that term, right? Peak performer. All right? So look at this little model of triangle, right? Who's on top? Whoever's at the peak. Whoever's at the peak. How'd they get there? They played the game that hierarchy represents better than everybody else. Is not Michael Jordan peak performer? Was not Kobe Bryant a peak performer? Tom Brady, peak performer? And you choose your guy or girl, whoever. It's like, are they on the top of what they're doing? Now ask yourself this. Did they do it without any models or examples in front of them? Don't throw that away. Did they do it without any models or examples in front of them? No. They all succeeded by emulating and imitating that one that they saw as the peak performer in their game. Al-Islam is the meta game of life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the design of life. That Dick Fosbury, it comes to mind right away. Dick Fosbury, some of you are not old enough to know that, but and because you've been looking at the Olympics, and when you look at the Olympics and you see everybody who high jumps and they go over backwards. That's how everybody does it now. Nobody goes over that old school way. You go over, I remember having matches in my yard in Sabranic Park. They put a matches and they had bamboo, made the bamboo thing, you know what I'm saying? So you had to run up, you jump over, and you had to learn how to kick. You had to go over and then get, I never could do it. Sports just wasn't the thing I could do. Maybe that's why I talk about it so much now. But the point is that Dick Fosbury came, changed what? The game. Now, do you think minds went like this when they saw that dude do that the first time? And then jump over backwards. Damn. It's like, who does that? Nobody. Before Dick Fosbury, called the Fosbury Flop. Now everybody does it. What's my point? Progress is made much more by imitation than innovation. I'll say that again. Progress, human progress, is made much more by imitation than innovation. But hold up. Allah's design is such that human beings don't need a lot of innovation. They just need an innovator who comes up with the right innovation. Then, given that it's right, everybody just follows that and goes on with their life. That's why I say, don't reinvent the wheel. Why we say don't reinvent the wheel? Hell, it works, so why you need to reinvent it? All right, what's the point? But you need to have somebody to model what's proper for the game. What game? Any game. Don't matter. Muhammad Ali changed the game. I believe Tiger Woods changed the game. The Williams sisters changed the game. You know some others. You know, you got musicians. Changed the game. What were they? Innovators. And after that, come on, my man James Brown changed the game. But he was imitating some people. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. He imitated some people in order to bring about the kind of changes that we saw. All right? And then what did everybody else do? They just chomp, chomp, chomp. Bit off JB. He's still being bit off. In the grave, he's still being bit off. Rahimullah Holeh. So, you get the point. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the perfect model for the metagame of life. You want to know how to do business? Look at Muhammad's example. You want to know how to do marriage? Look at Muhammad's example. You want to know how to do education? Look at Muhammad's example. What? Whatever you want to do that is good, you know, aligned with Allah's will, Muhammad has been given to us as a model for that. A perfect model. Alhamdulillah. This is why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in every situation, literally, that a human being can find himself in. And Allah revealed, act this way in this situation, and you'll be fine. You see, just imagine this as we conclude this portion of the khutbah. Imagine this. That you had a manual, a model for everything that could possibly happen in life. And there's an answer for it. That's actually what we have. In Al-Islam, Allah says in the Quran, just two things, example. Allah says in the Quran, He says, there's not a question they can bring you for which we have not provided the answer and the best explanation. This is what Allah says in the Quran. There's not a question they can bring you for which we have not provided an answer and the best explanation. Read that verse of the Quran where it says, Ramadan is the month in which the Quran will sit down, guidance for mankind, and a criteria for the judgment between what's right and what's wrong. Come on now. In the age of fake news and all this kind of thing, don't you need something that can separate the BS from the real message? Well, Allah has said, we have given you this Quran, which is guidance and a criteria to judge between what's right and what's wrong. So now you have to ask ourselves, anything wrong in your life right now? I mean, come on. Anything wrong is like, man, I wish this wasn't like this. And I wish that wasn't like this. Anything wrong in your life? Okay. Have you checked in with the Quran to find out? What does the Quran have to say about this? Oh, I don't know how to go in the Quran and find that guy. Amen. That's what we look to you for. Well, see, that's the first problem. Your life is your life. I ain't going home with you. It's not tonight, that's for sure. All right? So it's like, you need some ready answers. All right? This is why, this is direct instruction. If you haven't read the Sirah, life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you need to get started. You need to get started. And listen, I'll dare even say, Yasser Khazi is the one that I have seen, and our brother, certainly Dr. Wazir Ali. I don't know if he has his online though. He covers in detail in our spirit and language also the Sirah of Prophet Muhammad. Look for that. Check in on that. But I will say also, that's all going down in, he's in Memphis. Yasser, Sheikh Yasser Qazi. He has a series online. I mean, there's probably at least over 100 that walks through the Sirah of Prophet Muhammad. Brother and sister, I cannot overstate how significant it is to have that template. You don't have to know it by recitation or memorization or what, but you need to be exposed to it so that at least at some point you can say to yourself, I remember something in the Prophet's life where it was kind of like this situation. And I said, man, I need to go check that out again. Can do it. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his life, it's a model for you and me for living. Come on now. I'm about finished. You got something over here that says, if you understand this model, you can understand the best way to live every day of your life. Here you are with your life. And here's stuff happening in your life. You're not even going to look over here to see what it has to tell you about the stuff that's going on in your life right now? Well, see, then that's the explanation. How come when things gonna get better? I don't know what to do with that boy. I don't know what to do with that girl. I don't know what to do with that woman. I don't know what to do with that man. Have you checked in? Have you looked at your situation? Looked at the circumstances? And he said, okay, Islam, Muhammad, what you got to say about this? Have you done that? Or, what, head in the sand, head in the hole in the ground, waiting for things to get better? No, nothing's going to get better until you act. And if you don't know how to act, then you may act and make things worse. See, this Allah has given us. He said, it's my perfect favor. I gave you the perfect book. I gave you the perfect model for the book. Now it's up to you to believe, receive, act on the gift. This is why the hadith of the Prophet, he said, it is but your deeds that I, speaking of Allah, it's but your deeds that I reckon up and recompense you for. Let him who finds good praise Allah. Let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself.
رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ آمين اللهم آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Brother and sister, I am so personally tied to you, each one of you. I mean, whether I can call you by your name or not, we are tied together by the design of Allah, nafsun wahidatin, all of us. We're tied together. Each one of us is just a node in the total net of humanity. Each one of us. We're tied together. It looks separate. We feel separate. But there's a part in us that it is definitely connected, but I think sometimes you can feel it more than at other times. And so I'm saying that to say that the very fact that we're Muslims, and even especially so that you're here in this place, that is, you are a Jumu'ah practicer. Let's just put it like that. You are a Jumu'ah practicer. You know there's some Muslims who they don't practice Jumu'ah. But see, that's part of the game. That's part of the deen game. That's part of the meta game. How many people don't play that part of the game? It's critical. See, because Jumu'ah is a reminder. You know, you can lose your mind in the course of a week.
Yes.
Okay. You come to Jumu'ah, you might get your mind back. Yes. Oh, yeah. Sure, I forgot that. Alhamdulillah. And you heard it said, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. But there's some people that don't play the prayer game. Now I'm a Muslim, but I'm not very religious. And then they wonder why. I'm serious, brother and sister. Because you can have people, they're spinning out of control because they let go of the handle. Where the Quran says, when you grab al-Islam, you grab hold to the most trustworthy handhold that never breaks off. Wouldn't you like to be holding on to something in a stormy situation? And you got that thing, it got you going. When the storm go by, still here. Because I ain't letting go of that handle. I know there's a Christian spiritual somewhere. It's playing in my subconscious mind right now. I don't know, it's something. Hold on to something. I don't know. It's probably good that I don't know that, right? Because you might bring you back to the Christian frame. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast to the rope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds out for you. What is that rope? It's the Quran, life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, let's see if we can just touch a little bit on... we keep going on this. Okay. So we've already said, al-Islam is the metagame. Al-Islam is the metagame of life for Muslims. And listen, please listen very, very carefully. Because you can use this right now. That's always my hope. Right now. I'm saying it would change the lens that you look at your own life through if you grasp this. Listen. It's the metagame of life for Muslims, and all the labels that are appropriate for us represent the different games. Remember, al-Islam is the metagame. And inside of a metagame, many other games are played. Well, al-Islam is the metagame. Inside the metagame of al-Islam, there are other games that are played. How do you identify them? You identify every label is a new game in life. At different times, different circumstances, we are playing different games. And indeed, we have to play different games. Now, here's the thing. I'm a father, right? If I'm a father, soon as I'm in that function, that's the game that I have to start playing. It's a label, but it's also a game. And a father, if it's a different game, it has a different aim. I'm a husband. New label, new game. New game, new aim. I'm an imam. New game. When I have that label, have a different aim, right? If you're a business person, if that's a proper label, that's another game. I'm a brother, right? I'm a brother. If I have a literal brother, yeah, I have sisters. So I'm the brother to my sisters, my womb sisters, right? That's another game. It has another aim. And when I'm in the brother mode, then we're playing the brother game. When I'm in the husband mode, I'm playing the husband or the marriage game. If I'm a business person, I'm playing the business game. I'm an entrepreneur. If I'm a manager, I'm playing the management game. If I'm a coach of a team, I'm playing the coach game. So, the example that's kind of easy to get to. See, you have to know what game you're playing, and you have to know the aim of the game. Now, I do this because it's important And we just need to get to it. And sometimes we just don't get it. And we just got to learn how to play it. Listen, when you are having a, how can I call it? Well, let's start with what we would normally call it, an argument with your husband or your wife. I know it happens rarely, but if you're having an argument with your husband and wife by label, I want to break that frame right now. It's not an argument. It's a negotiation. That's what an argument is. It's a negotiation. But even if you wanted to stay with, I don't advise, if you want to say, well, yeah, it's an argument. Okay, that's fine. Okay, so let's play the argument game. In the metagame, Al-Islam. So you're a Muslim. So the umbrella of all of your activity is ruled, governed by Al-Islam. So how did the Prophet model arguing? How did the Prophet model arguing with his wives? And all you have to know, now, is what I'm doing right now properly modeling Muhammad in these kinds of situations? Might be a flag on the play. Ain't funny, huh? So listen, it's like, if there's a behavior that's out of bounds in Al-Islam, if you're playing the Al-Islam game, you gotta recognize the boundaries. That's out of bounds. I don't care. I saw a game the other night, football dude, he got ran out on the sideline. Then he ran about 20 yards down the sideline and then come back in the game, make a tackle. You know, hey, homie, you were way out of bounds. At the point that he did what he did, he wasn't playing football anymore. He was playing some other game. In which, that's okay. But that ain't football. Come on, Muslim. Don't go to sleep on this. I see sometimes you want to go to sleep. I didn't hear that part. What did he say? If you want to get to some extra years on your marriage, you need to listen to what I'm telling you. What game are we playing? And it don't even have to be an argument. Don't have to be an argument. You're having a conversation. You're just having a conversation. The male-female communication game says that women communicate in a certain way and men communicate habitually in a certain way. What's the proper way? What do you have to do? How did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam model his communication with his wives? You got that? All right? Business is the same. The Islamic business game is how did Muhammad do business? The culture game. What did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have to say about culture? What did he model for us in culture? The governance game. How did the Prophet provide leadership? And how did the Prophet deal with the future hopes of a people? Whatever it might be. Because politics is about self-determination. So, what I'm pointing out to you here, brother and sister, is get the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your life as the foundation for your thinking, reasoning, and acting in every aspect of your life. Because Al-Islam leaves out nothing. And all you have to do is just take a second. You can do it right now. Take a second and ask yourself, what in my life could be better than it is right now? That involves me. Not like Oh, if he was better, I'd be better on this. And if she was better, I'd be better on that. And if they were better, no, you. I say to Fahim, what you know that comes right to your mind, something that you could improve on? And then look to Al-Islam, look to the Quran, look to Muhammad. What does it have to say about that? I'm gonna seriously put the finger on myself right now. And mashallah, Allahu alam, alhamdulillah, call it what you may. But the spirit is, look, I want you to know that this is the deal. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I think he said the disbelievers eat in either 7 stomachs or 2 stomachs. It's more than one, that's for sure. Right? And the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your body has rights over you. I have been disrespectful to the rights of my own body. But if I look to the Prophet, or the Prophet said, the unbelievers eat more than one stomach. Oh, let me give you another one. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you eat, your stomach should be 1/3 food, 1/3 water, and 1/3 air. You think I've been respecting that? A'uzu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. What I'm trying to point out to you is that we all have stuff that we don't have to look far to know, man, I need to do something about that. Shoot, I looked in the mirror a few days ago, and I said, I know you're ready to go. I'm ready to go too. A few days ago, I looked and said, man, you need a haircut. And he said, I looked in the mirror and said, like, I really didn't like what I was seeing, man. It's like, damn, man, that's too much. So I hooked up with my barber yesterday, and we got it together. But I'm saying, when you look in the mirror and you really don't like what you see, that's a message you need to do something about that. Okay? And so concluding, brother and sister, get that seerah of Prophet Muhammad. Make it a habit. Come on. Every morning or even every prayer, have the book near. Read a page or whatever. You know, you got YouTube, everything. Just go through the series. Think, looking at the life and history of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because what it will provide is the meta message for your practice of al-Islam, and you'll be surprised how much you'll be guided and how much your behavior will change accordingly to your benefit. If you fail to do so, nothing's going to change. We have to do something in order to get better, inshallah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine presence. We thank you for your divine power. We thank you for the blessings of Al-Islam. We thank you for blessing us to bear witness to your reality. We thank you for blessing us to see and know and to seek to know our blessed messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bless us, oh Allah, to understand his life, to imbibe his life, to pattern ourselves after the wisdom that you have given in his nature and what you have enlightened his nature with through your revealed book, the Quran. Oh Allah, we beg your aid and assistance for areas where we are weak and where we are short in discipline, where we are short in conviction, where we are short in faith, where we are uncertain about the depths of our conviction and our commitment to Al-Islam. Oh Allah, purify our hearts and purify our thinking and purify our understanding and purify our perception.
Bless us to be true to our words and true to our declarations. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Aqimus salat.
Allahumma ameen.